Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Now, what's a therapist who works with teenagers to do when parents don't want to come in and they just want her to work with their teenager? Now, we're going to talk about this and a whole lot more on this week's podcast. How do I get parents to own their part of the problem? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family that you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, please don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com. Click on either for families or for treatment programs. Then click on any podcast and scroll down to the end where it says submit your question and then enter it there. Hey, why not do it today? Then while you're there, you can download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. Let's all remember, this is a podcast for educational purposes. It is not a substitute for therapy. Okay, today we're hearing from Laura. And Laura writes, I'm a therapist working with teenagers, and I know that working with the whole family is best, yet I have a hard time getting parents to come in, particularly fathers. Even when parents do come, they see it as their teen's counseling session. They give me a little about what's going on and expect me to work just with their teenager. When I ask them about their parenting, often they get defensive and tell me they've done everything. I can't get them to change if they don't come in. Do you have any advice for how I can get parents to come in and own their part? Okay, thanks for your question, Laura. It comes up very often in my family therapy trainings, so let's see how I can help. Laura, it all starts with the therapist having clarity that problems with children, teenagers, and young adults virtually always involves some level and some form of a control battle. The control battle that I call the beast. Now, if as therapists, we try to do therapy without acknowledging or dealing with the fact of the beast, we'll be having a heck of a time creating real change. Even if there is a specific youth challenge, such as ADHD or dyslexia or early childhood trauma, that's the source of a problem, one that parents want to get their youth help with, what brings a family into counseling is the struggle with their youth. And to effectively address any issue, we must help the family change out of a control battle-based family dynamic to a healthy dynamic where parents and youth are addressing issues productively. Laura, from our first contact with a parent, we actually communicate our thinking about therapy and problems in very subtle ways. For instance, let's say a mom calls to get therapy for her 14-year-old daughter, whom she describes as depressed. Well, if you talk with mom about when you can fit her daughter in, or ask her if her daughter is on medication, these are identified patient-based questions, and she'll tell you more about her daughter. Of course, you will want history of the daughter's development and her mental and physical health, but if you start by accepting that mom's diagnosis is what she says it is, and you talk from that point of view, you're going to get caught in a corner. Now, you can establish that this is a family affair if you invite mom to talk about the situation with an open-ended question. A question such as, tell me a little bit about what's going on. Then, when she does, she'll tell you about her experience, and you can respond with some empathy and some concern. And then you will have established a beginning relationship with mom. And then when you ask, when can I get you folks in, you'll find that mom accepts coming in as a very reasonable thing to do. Laura, keep in mind that whether the youth is acting out and not managing responsibilities, or is presenting with anxiety or depression, parents have been trying to deal with it, and the way they've been dealing with it has been what I call feeding the beast. And they are frustrated and experiencing some level of parental burnout. You know what I mean by that, that the way the parents have been dealing with the problem has been feeding into the problem, and now everyone is patterned, and they can't get out of the pattern, and they're exhausted with working hard and not getting good results. Now, kids in control battles are not happy campers either. Now, if parents can get a taste of empathy and support from you, they'll be more interested in coming in. So, if you say to the mom, how have you folks been dealing with it? Now we're talking about them as a family. You're going to get an infinite number of responses to that question because there's an infinite number of people you're going to be talking to. You might hear, we just found out our daughter has been cutting. We know she's been depressed for a long time, but she's refused to go to counseling. Now we're insisting. You can say, good job. I hear you've been concerned for a while, but wanted to respect her choices. Yes, your daughter has made it clear that she needs you to put your foot down. You might hear, we've been struggling with our son for a long time. He never wants to listen. Now he wants to go to the continuation school. I don't think that's the best thing for him. He just wants to goof off and smoke pot. He's had counseling before, but he didn't keep it up. Hearing that, I might say, yipes, if you have a teenager who doesn't listen, that's a recipe for a lot of bad decisions. What's going on that he doesn't listen? Now, I'm going to hear is mom's going to tell me a version of the struggle she's had parenting him and some of the circumstances in their lives that are really a struggle for her and for him and that they've been dealing with. And I'll acknowledge how challenging those circumstances are. And I'll offer that it's great that her son has a mom who tries and is concerned, who believes in him, and wants him to do his best. And that maybe we can find a way to connect with the part of her son who cares and wants to do well. Now I'm offering support and suggesting there's a way for her and her son to connect positively. Of course she'll come in with her son. Now, Laura, about dads who don't want to come in, let's ask ourselves, why wouldn't they? It's not because they don't care about their kids. It can be a number of factors. They don't understand what therapy is and don't want to be psychoanalyzed. They don't want to be told they're parenting wrong. They feel going to counseling shows weakness and they should solve problems on their own. It's not a part of their culture and it feels uncomfortable. So very simply, Laura, when I schedule the session around the father's schedule, it's a sign of respect and it expresses the importance of his being there. And I'm actually putting my schedule subordinate to his. And that is a way of saying you're important and I acknowledge that. And that's going to make him much more willing. Now, in the few cases where the mom tells me he is simply unwilling, I give dad a call and let him know that I won't know the whole story if he isn't there to give me his perspective. I'm not sure if I've ever had a parent absolutely refuse to come in after showing respect and empathy. So, listeners, therapists and parents alike, when teens struggle, the whole family struggles. And if we acknowledge that, and we acknowledge it with empathy and support, parents will be perfectly willing to be part of the therapy process. It all starts with how we think about the problem and how we think about the solution. Do we stay with a diagnosis and focus on the individual? Or do we think in terms of a family dealing with an issue that they need help with? Our language and the way we form questions expresses that. Everyone in the family has their own pain about the problem and how it's being dealt with, whether it's parents, the youth, or siblings. Everyone is stressed by the problem and how it's being responded to. If we bring respect and empathy to everyone in the family, not shame or blame, they will be happy to be our client, and they'll be happy to participate in the solution. Then, when everyone expresses their personal frustration with each other, then we can bring their focus to the control battle, the beast. We can focus family members on a common enemy rather than on each other as the source of their problem. Now, rather than advice being seen as us telling them they're parenting badly or that their feelings aren't reasonable, we're simply helping everyone find a better way together. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to Laura for asking a question that many therapists struggle with. And if you are a therapist who works in a behavioral health treatment program and would like to talk with me about improving outcomes in your program, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email or give me a call. I'll be happy to talk with you. And please remember, especially during the stress of the holiday season, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You know something? You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.